And if you still have questions, you can still send it to the email that was provided. So that's thesapchurch@gmail.com. If you can put that on the screen, thesapchurch@gmail.com. Thank you. So please, if we can calm the children down, please. Thank you. So the first question tonight that I'm going to be asking is, so in no particular order, so the first question and the two questions are like the same. So the question is, how are you meant to know when the person you are dating is the one God wants you to marry? So how are you meant to know when the person you're dating is the one God wants you to marry? So if any of you can answer that question.
Right. I think it's important that we kind of lay a foundation that we will build on tonight based on, that we're going to base every question on. It's about relationship. So before we, I'm not dodging the question, okay? Before we go into dating itself, when we're talking about dating, of course, definitely we need to understand what we mean. But basically, relationship has got to do with, first of all, the individual. So you're either relating with somebody or some people. So let's look at the individuals involved in a relationship first. Because that's the bedrock of any relationship at all. Be it a partnership, be it a friendship, be it a business concern. Let's deal with the individual, because if the individual is okay, then it will be easy to relate. So it's like, let's not focus on a structure, let's focus on the people that will use the structure. We can get a very good structure in place, but if the people who will use it are not okay, then the structure will be useless. Anyway, that's just a parable. So what's the question?
So the question is, how are you meant to know when the person you are dating is the one God wants you to marry?
Okay, let's start with definitions. I don't know if somebody can help us, because let's be more interactive and make it easy. What do you understand by dating? What is dating? I don't want to assume that I know what that means and everybody knows what that means. If anybody can help us, what is dating? This man looks like he... Okay, is anybody... Maybe that's too personal now. I wanted to ask, is anybody dating so that you can tell us what it means? Please, anybody, what is dating itself? Yeah? Okay, there's somebody there who wants to help with the definition of dating.
When you're going out with somebody.
When you're going out with somebody, where are you going?
Like when you're exclusive with someone.
When you're exclusive with someone. Yeah, please break it down more. You're going out with somebody, you're exclusive with
like
someone.
You like someone more than you like other people.
You like someone more than you like other people.
Then you now start going out with the person exclusively.
Okay, let me read a very simple definition I found here. And please, let's see if we agree on that definition, and then we can answer the question. So, dating means going on dates. It means you are actively getting out there and meeting people and spending time with them. Dating someone means you are seeing somebody specific, with purpose, and on a regular basis. Dating also means to be romantically involved with someone. So two people are said to be dating when they are seeing each other exclusively for a period. Do we agree with that definition? Please, let's. Yeah, okay.
Sorry. There was one time this people I follow on social media, and I remember she gave a definition that really challenged me, and it was saying the difference between worldly and godly dating, because obviously there is a difference. So for my understanding of godly dating would be that you are in a relationship with somebody that you are attracted to and it's leading to marriage. So it's not just that you are seeing each other and there's no purpose to it, but you're walking towards marriage and you're trying to glorify God in the relationship. Whereas worldly dating has different meanings. It means different things to different people.
Okay, so which of these now are we looking at? Godly or ungodly dating? No, let's agree so that we go in the same direction. I know we're in church, but you know, let's break things down. Let's be real. Are we agreeing to look at the one that leads to marriage? Or just seeing somebody? Okay. I know the one we are looking at. Just keep quiet, you see. Okay. Yes, let's agree, please.
I think from the context of the question,
okay,
the person will be talking about not godly, because you mentioned something a couple of years ago. You said that you should set sat-nav before you step out. And if you want to go dating someone, that means you've already set your sat-nav. If you have seen anybody that you want to be engaged to, you've already set the sat-nav that is for marriage. It's not when you've gotten into it that you now ask whether the dating should lead to marriage or whether you should date the person. So that means they didn't really set it at the beginning. And
okay, so this question is talking about...
It says, how are you meant to know when the person you are dating is the one God wants you to marry?
Okay, so are we assuming that they have agreed to marry before they started? I mean... They had intention
to get married, but how do you now know as a person that is this the person God wants me to marry?
Okay, no. So that sounded like a trial and error. You meet the person now, and you say, you know, let's date. I don't know how they say it. You say, let's date,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And then you start dating. Okay, there's a hand there. So how do you know if it's the right person?
I think I'm interpreting it maybe slightly differently.
Okay, that's why we need a universal interpretation.
It's possible that the people in question set out with marriage in mind when they start dating.
Yeah.
But doubt can set in. Or you could see attributes or traits that make you to start doubting or wondering whether that person is the right person that God wants for you.
Okay. So how do you know if that person is the... Okay, all right. So let's tackle it that way. Okay, let's agree that you meet each other and both of you have the intention that you want this to lead to marriage. Do we agree with that?
Yes.
Okay. So how do I know if the person is the right person? Right. Let's go back to what I said in a parable. Okay? You see, at the end of the day, when two people are in a relationship, don't look at the relationship First, look at yourself. It begins with the individual. What sort of a person are you? Do you know yourself? Because, see, if you don't really know yourself, how can you really know who is suitable for you? Because it will be a faulty foundation to start on, that you just meet somebody, okay, let's go and marry. Let's try to see if it's going to work. Because, you know, you will agree. Maybe there are some people here who have actually tried dating and you've been hurt one or two times. And, you know, when you're hurt the first time, hurt second time, it can be very discouraging. So I tend to advise that let's look at things and start with a foundation before we start building. So what is the foundation here? Who are you? Do you know yourself? Do you know your temperament? Do you really know who you are? Because if you are a confused individual, for example, how would you be able to discern and know somebody else when you don't even really know who you are? I don't know if that makes sense. I just want us to look at things commonsensically to start with. So, to know who to date, let me put it that way, or if the person you are dating, first of all, you've set your destination as, okay, you want to marry. So this is not, we're not messing around with each other here. We know where we're heading towards, right? But the first thing you should look at is, do you know yourself? If you know yourself, it will be very easy for you to start knowing somebody else. You know who suits you. And when I say knowing yourself, please, you've got to be very sincere with yourself. You've got to be very, very, very honest with yourself. For example, if you know yourself that you're short-tempered, and you are sincere with yourself, now, will it make sense for you to marry somebody who is short-tempered? Common sense. So, what sort of individual will you be looking out for? Somebody who probably can calm you down. Somebody who doesn't have a short fuse like you. Otherwise, you marry somebody with the same temperament as you, you're going to blow the house down one day. So, it begins with you knowing yourself. And please be very sincere, be very honest, look at yourself. Now, you may ask that, how can I know myself? I mean, if I ask you now to describe your personality, you probably know your likes, and please be very practical and real and physical as possible. Okay, I like eating macaroni. You can start with that. I hate people who look in a certain way. I don't like people who talk a certain way. I don't like people who lie. And please, make sure that what you don't like in other people is not something you are guilty of yourself. For example, I don't like people who tell lies, if that's you. But you are a liar yourself, but you are living in denial, because you will attract your kind if you are a hypocrite. If you are an actor, you will attract an actress. And that's the beginning of all the confusion. So let's get spiritual here. You know where you're going. You want to marry. But do you know that in reality, you don't know tomorrow? You don't know 2 years down the road. You don't know 3 years down the road. The person you're with, okay, maybe you know yourself, you know. And you know, let me tell us the truth. If you are a sincere human being, you will meet another sincere human being. Or you'll be able to tell when somebody's not sincere. Clearly. Because one, you're not deceiving yourself. You know who you are. You know what you're looking for. And you can. It's easy for you to spot some things that you don't want. Some things that are not right. But that's on the physical level. Now let's look at it on the spiritual level. This is where God comes in. You don't know tomorrow. You don't know 5 years down the road. You don't know 10 years down the road. But God knows. And because God knows, it is the safest thing for a human being to do, to ask God who knows tomorrow. Right, this person I'm with, I like them. Maybe they tick all my boxes. But Lord, you know tomorrow. Is this going to last? Believe me, it's a very simple, sincere question. And I will tell you the truth. It's difficult to ask this question when you are romantically and madly in love. So it's always good to start at the onset. The analogy Damola gave there. Before you have a sat nav. You know your destination. You don't start setting your destination in the middle of the road after you've moved. You know you want to end up with marriage. So why don't you start at that point to ask God who knows tomorrow? And the two of you pray. If you are both sincere human beings, if you are very sincere human beings. So I tell people, God is not complicated. Never. We are the ones who complicate God. At that point, why don't the two of you be sincere and sincerely ask God, is this going to end anywhere? Is this going to end well? Or will it not end well? I don't know if my wife wants to say something there.
Yeah, you know, like you said, it's very, very important for us to ask God concerning relationships because marriage is beautiful, but it's also very complicated. Two separate individuals who have grown up in two separate homes all their lives, 25, 30, 21, whatever age, decide to come together. It's difficult, humanly speaking, for two people from two separate backgrounds and settings to gel together. So we believe that's why it's very important for God to be, you know, involved right from the very beginning. And asking God these questions is not actually, you know, complicated because it's quite useful for an individual to know God for themselves. Even before you start thinking about marriage, relationships, getting on the bus, deciding whether to go to Manchester or London for your master's, deciding whether to go for NYC, something they do in Nigeria, or to stay in the UK. These are the questions you should have asked God. You know, as you go through your everyday life as a child of God, you know, we develop that relationship with God. We ask Him for what He wants us to do. So it's not only when it comes to marriage that we start asking God, what do you want me to do? So if you develop that relationship with God right from the beginning, you know, asking Him about, as you are going along in life, asking Him for His help. How do I go about this? What course do I study? Lord, I'm struggling with this. Help me. Then you begin to grow in your relationship with God. Secondly, then God begins to speak to you as an individual, personally, in ways that you understand. So that when other voices are coming to you, you know specifically, this is God speaking to me. And you know how to differentiate between when it's God and when it's not God. And it's not complicated. God speaks to our minds, and so does the devil. So it's very important as children of God that we know when God is speaking to us. It's a relationship we develop every day. And like when a child is just born, when a baby is born, it takes time. So you have to develop it. You have to trust God. And then when it comes to the issue of marriage, you have to believe that, you know, ask God. And God will, in His mercies, He will tell you. But it's a different thing for God to tell you something, and it's a different thing for you to do it. what it told you to do.
Okay. Okay, someone wants to contribute there.
Yep. I want to contribute to that. I think if I understood the question correctly, the person is already asking God, how do I know that this is the person you want me to marry? The person is asking God. It's not as if the person doesn't care about what God thinks, you know. So, and if you already have a relationship with God, one of the ways you know what God wants you to do is that you have an inward witness. So you have peace. Like when this person is for you, you've already asked God, you've seen some things and you feel like, okay, I want this person, and you've already asked God, do you want me to go ahead with this person? You should have peace inside you. If you don't have peace, if you're not settled inside, you need to go back and, you know, do a recheck. But you have to have peace to know if you're going ahead or if you're not. So to add to what
Let's understand that they are already in the relationship.
Well, how are you meant to know?
Dating.
So I guess they're like, are you meant to know when the person you are dating? So they're already in a relationship. So are you meant to know if that's the person God wants you to marry?
All right, you're in the relationship already. So let's assume that it could be either of the person wasn't sure, and they got into the relationship, and now they want to be sure they're in the right relationship. Or maybe, I'll give this a go. And then probably they're seeing some complications along the line, and they want to pray. But you see, the safest thing is at the start. But if you are in it already, what I will practically suggest is that sincerity. You need to ask yourself some very serious questions, because we're talking about marriage here. Marriage is a calculated risk. Let me put it that way. I am telling you, the person you even think you know might not actually be the person who will be in the marriage after you say, I do. So it's always good. Okay, you are in it. But now, doubts are coming. Please, when in doubt, ask. It might actually be good to have a little space from the person. So let me tell us, the simplest way to be in a relationship with someone is keep spending time with them. Just keep spending time. Even if you want to go away, even if you want to run, it becomes more and more difficult. There's something called chemistry. And chemistry has got to do with mixing chemicals together. You've mixed already. So it makes it more difficult. So if you can drag yourself a little bit, you know what? Let's give a space here. Can we give ourselves some space? I want to go and seek God. You to go and seek God. Let me tell you one of the signs of someone who is possessive and manipulative and controlling. When you say you want to go and seek God, let's just give ourselves a space. They will usually not let you go. It could be a little bit of a dangerous sign. You are not sure you want to be sure. Before you commit your life to somebody, you are literally taking a risk. And I'm telling you, but like I said, it's a calculated risk. Let it be an informed risk. Because once you enter it, I'm telling you, everything changes. everything changes. And, you know, I'm talking from a place of both experience and pain, and what we have seen, what we have handled between couples. I'm not saying I'm an expert, but you see, there are some things nobody can take away from you. When you are a pastor, you see things. You see what people don't see. I'm not saying in the spirit now. You see people's secrets. Let me just put it that way. See, couple's secrets. You know what's going on in people's homes. You know what's people going on in between a husband and wife that nobody knows. Because you experience it. You are there. So give yourself just something. It's called time out. I don't know what game they played. After some, they say, time out, time out. You want to go and rest. You just want to reflect. But I'm talking of one that has not, they've not married yet, too. That's the one I'm talking about, please. Because once you are in it, there's no time out, too. You can only have time off. Yes.
Okay, because of our time. So I'm going to ask two questions. Like, they're kind of like similar. So if you can answer those two questions together. So the first one is, should I date a godly girl? Should I date or marry a godly girl I do not find attractive? And the second one is kind of like both of them together. And the second one is, as a young man or woman, what are the qualities I should look for in this person I'm like seeking
okay,
to marry?
Okay, first question is, should I date?
Should I date?
Okay, you've not started dating. You want to date?
Should I date or marry a godly girl I do not find attractive? And the second one is, what are the qualities I should look for in the person I want to marry? Apart from godly, obviously, we want to marry someone that is God-fearing. So apart from, we know that one is like standard. So apart from God-fearing, what are the other qualities?
Okay, yeah. I would like to know what the person means by a godly person, but you don't find them attractive.
You know. Okay, for example, maybe like they, obviously, because people are always telling you, like, marry, standard thing.
That she
they
can
must be
pray,
God-fearing.
She prays.
She prays and all that kind of
worship,
thing. And, yeah.
She will intercede for you.
Why further describing everybody in the
she
choir?
She will respect you. Is that what you mean?
Yeah, like,
godly,
yeah, she's godly.
But she's not
But you don't
attractive.
Find that attractive. But okay. Maybe people are telling you to, maybe marry that sister, that kind of thing.
Okay.
So, what advice would you give to such person?
I will say this, sincerely speaking. You see, it's our definitions at times that confuse us and gets us into trouble. Believe me, if somebody's godly, they will be attractive. That is, if you yourself, you're a godly person. I want that to sink. If you are a godly person, you will find another godly person attractive. If you are a dog, you will find a dog attractive. No, if you are a dog, every dog will attract you. So, that's number one. So it goes back to the foundation. Please, who are you? Before you are looking for a godly husband or godly wife, are you godly yourself? I know why I'm saying this, because I've seen some couples like that, where of course the woman is all covered up. You know what I mean? I mean, you see her, no makeup, nothing, but you see the guys, you know what I mean. But he married her for the wrong reason. At least, I know if she's in my house, she won't give me trouble. No man will be looking at her and all that. But you are not—you are a hypocrite yourself. So you keep the godly woman at home to be interceding and praying for you while you go philandering outside. Come on. It's a simple principle. If you are godly, you will always find someone godly attractive. Okay, there's a hand there. Please feel free to disagree with me. Yeah. No. I'm just saying.
It's just, I feel that basically the people ask you to go for people that are religious.
People ask you to go for.
I'm going somewhere.
Yeah.
With that, like.
People.
She's godly.
Yeah.
Or he's godly. He's everything. Good. Everything. But maybe the look. I mean, I believe that whoever you're marrying, you should be attracted to the person physically.
Thank you.
So I feel like that's what the person is asking, that just because she's godly and she doesn't look like this is the person I'm going to be seeing every day for the rest of my life.
Right.
I mean,
so the bottom line is that she's not attractive.
Yeah, but she's
godly. She's godly. What do you mean? Listen. You said something. No,
can
please,
we have
wait,
one
wait.
Else, please? Thank you.
You said something that I want to hammer on, which is one of the big problems also that we have seen. People tell you, wow, she's godly. He's godly. I think she will make a good wife. The people are not the ones who will marry the godly, unattractive person. So it goes back to you. What do you want? Who are you? You see, let's not be over-spiritual about things. If you don't find someone attractive, like you said, excuse me, 24/7, you are going to be with them. Even the one you found attractive that blew your head. Do you know what familiarity can do after? Ask couples, if couples want to be very serious and sincere. She was very beautiful. She turned your head, turned your heart, turned everything. You married her. At days she won't be attractive. Yeah, maybe, you know, the
when she's pregnant, for example,
she
won't be attractive.
And
she's
maybe
going
she
to
woke
change.
Up the following morning and the eyebrow fell off.
And the mascara is off.
You know.
The wig is off.
What are we talking?
The Peruvian, whatever type of wig it is.
Please give, you have the mic.
You know.
Aha. So know what you're going into. Sincerity here. Yes, go on. Yeah.
I just want to probably add to what Pastor said. The difficulty is usually the definition of terms. And I think a lot of us don't believe the word of God. That's the truth. If I tie it back to the first question, how would I know who God wants me to marry? That means the two people know God, understand God, know his word, know what his values are. And one of the things God has said is in Proverbs 31 that beauty fades. Favor is deceitful, but a woman who fears God will be honored. Those qualities last, whether she's pregnant, whether she's had an accident and broken her leg, whether she's suffering cancer, those qualities last for a lifetime. And I think that's the part that we downplay. The other thing I want to say is this. Once you get that part, that spiritual part, those values, those godly qualities, come on. Money can make anybody look beautiful. Money can, I'm telling you, you think she's not beautiful, take her to the spa, the best spa. Go to the gym with her, walk out with her, take her shopping. She will look amazing. All right. The same with the guy as well. We see a lot of times where people look at people and go like, oh, he has a pot belly. He doesn't speak nice. Put him in the gym. Walk out with him. Get him a good trainer. You'll see a six-pack. He doesn't speak well. Get him a speech coach. He will speak well. Those things are qualities that can be improved. But character, it's either you have it or you don't have it, or you work on it. So when people say, you know, this is somebody you're going to spend your life with, I'm telling you, if a guy respects women, fears God, he would always be handsome. And the thing, I say to people as well, like Pastor said it, this is for guys, I don't know about ladies, right? If you spend time, a year, on an island with a goat, that goat starts looking beautiful. I'm telling you. You know, what if he has an accident or she breaks her leg and he's not 6 foot anymore? No. Come on. Let's speak out. What are the qualities we are looking for? Are we looking for something that is ephemeral that would pass away? You know, if she doesn't wear her makeup, most ladies look even finer without makeup. Trust me.
Some people would disagree with you. Yes, Safai.
It's just reading, listening to the question. The person was saying, people were saying, and I'm coming from this angle that maybe, I might be wrong, the person that asked the question might have a list, in the sense that the person wants the person to be tall, light-skinned. So that sometimes can be a clash. But light-skinned. But I think more importantly is to seek God's face, because sometimes the list has a problem. It can spoil things. Yeah. You might say you want someone that is 6 foot, if you're a lady. A guy might say he wants someone like that is very slim. But like Pastor Ura said, most cases, or at least 50% of women who have been slim, once they give birth, they put on a bit of weight. So I think if there's a list there, maybe look at the list and also surrender that list to God. That's where I'm coming from.
Yeah, talking about the list, I had a list, okay? I had a list before I got married. Sincerely speaking, it might not be all women, all young ladies that have lists, but some have lists, and I had one. And, you know, because obviously I was born again, so top of my list was, okay, he has to be godly. You know, he has to be born again. Secondly, I was like, I don't want to suffer in this life. So, and be honest.
Yes. Amen.
So he must either be a banker, a lawyer, or a doctor. He must have a car.
Yep.
This is my list. He must have at least one house. You know, he must, even if he doesn't own the house, at least he's renting the house.
Decent house.
Yeah. Okay? He must be tall. I'm being honest. He must be tall. He must be tall, dark, handsome. So I had this list. And I was born again, spirit-filled sister, teaching Sunday school in church, RCCG Church in Nigeria then. So anyway, I went to serve. So national services, what you do in Nigeria after you've gone to uni, and then you are meant to serve your fatherland and all that. And I came home on a break, and I've told this story before. Was walking out, and I saw this guy, very, very strange, and he asked for directions, you know. Oh, I'm looking for this and this house. So I directed him, so I continued with my work. So on my way back, he drove past me, and then he stopped, and he was like, oh, thank you for giving me directions the other time. So I was like, you're welcome. So I was like, oh, so what do you do? So I was like, ah, why are you asking me this question? In the, you know. So anyway, we got talking. It was quite strange. If you ask me to this day, I don't know what happened. Cut the long story short, came into our, because it was parked right in front of my parents' house. So he came in, because we discovered we're from the same area. So he came in, said hello to my mom, then left. So I was like, what's going on? Very strange. Anyway, so I went back to the state where I served. And then June 12, 1992, some of you were not born then. That was when Nigeria was meant to elect a new president. And there was a lot of chaos going on. People couldn't go home. So I was stuck where I was. So I was in this house where I was serving. Everybody else had gone home, but I couldn't go back to where my parents were. And don't know, don't ask me how it happened. This guy just found me where I was. 1992, 93. So he said, oh, now, back then, we didn't really have mobile phones and all that. So,
no Instagram.
No, and then he came in and said,
if a guy is interested, he will dig you out.
Because I was shocked when I saw him. You know, sister and I was very funny. This is a very funny scene, right? So I was tying wrapper. I was just reading my Bible. doing my own thing. And then he walks in. So I was shocked to see him. Because where I live is even on the outskirts of this town. It was not really a city. Then he came in anyway and said, oh, you know, because you're stuck and everything, you know, you can't go back to where your parents are. I've just come to pick you so that you can go and stay with me. And then when, you know, everything calms down, you can go home. So I was like, okay. When we first met, he actually told me that I looked like someone he could marry. I didn't put that one in, which was strange for someone you're just meeting for the first time. So I was like, what's going on here? So I was like, I can't just follow you. Who are you? I don't even know you. What am I going to say to my mother when she asks me where I am? So anyway, so I said he should excuse me. So because it was one of these really, really local houses where the toilets were outside the house. So I wanted to go to the, so that was how local it was. So I wanted to go to the toilet. So as I got to the toilet, this is a true story. I'll never forget this. I stood by the edge of the, just to cross over, and I couldn't move. There was this battle going on in my mind, and the list came back. The only thing this guy didn't fit on the list was that I was not born again. Every other thing, tall, dark, handsome, was a bank manager in Lagos, had his own car, had his own, in fact, had three houses and all that. It was like, I've told you, and this battle started. And one voice said, he will get born again now. Just give him time, follow him. So are you going to stay here by yourself? Another voice was like, no, I stood there. This battle went off, I don't know, for how many minutes. I couldn't even go to the toilet anymore. So in the end, I just went, no. So I went back and I said, thank you for offering to take care of me and all that, but I'm just going to stay here. You know, then I just got born again maybe a year before then, so I was still very raw. So
vulnerable.
Yeah, very vulnerable. So I said to him, I actually wanted to go with him, to be honest, because that was the battle that was going on in my mind. So at the end of the day, I just said to him, I said his name, and I said, well, it's the devil that sent you.
You told him that?
Yes. He went mad. I said, if it's the devil that sent you, just tell the devil that today's not the day. I'm sorry, no. So it was like, what do you mean? I want to marry you. And all that and all that. So in the end, he left. Now, fast forward a few days later, when I went to the fellowship, I realized that at that particular point in time, people were praying for me because they had not seen me for a few days. I'm telling you, if God did not intervene, I would have gone with that guy. Probably married him. And I won't be here tonight. I won't be. So the list had to go. When I met my husband,
okay,
so only number one and two, the rest, nothing. Wow. But
what's
everything,
number one and two?
What do you
it
mean?
Was godly.
It was godly.
And it was, was
not
tall.
Not as tall as you wanted.
Not as tall. And it worked in a bank.
And it wasn't as good looking.
No, actually, the first time I saw my husband.
Yes, tell them what you said.
I wish my sister was there tonight because I said it in my local language, right? Because we're at a concert and I saw him. And at this time, he had not come to meet me or anything like that. So we're not romantically involved or anything like that. And I said to my husband, it's not even nice looking. Something like that.
It's not even good looking.
The poor man was minding his own business.
It was a Christian program.
Yeah.
It was like a gospel concert, mm-hmm. And I was anchoring that concert.
Yeah,
I didn't even know whether anybody was looking at me.
No,
that was the first time she noticed me.
Yes,
and she noticed me that I was not good looking. That was the first notice.
Whoa. Down the line,
but we now met
about a year later,
maybe a year after that.
Yeah.
And it was in the course of our talking, she remembered.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, okay. Everybody's story is different.
Okay? Yeah, sure.
You know, but what she shared is just something real and practical, our own experience.
Mm-hmm.
So she had a list. Now, what I want to say is this. We forget, or maybe we don't know, excuse me, what you are marrying is a character, not a list. You can be 6 foot five. You can have all the money. But what sort of a person is he?
Can I just come in? 21 years next month that we've been married, okay? And personally to me, he's the most handsome man in all the world. Now, listen. I'll say to everyone that's not married yet
tonight. Are you trying to make me feel good?
No.
Okay.
I'm not trying to make you feel good. Okay, I'm good. Just saying because
Why is he the most handsome person?
Okay. No. Okay, number one.
For the
he said something about character.
Faith comes by hearing.
When Pastor, let me talk now. One of the things that endeared me when I met my husband was the fact that he wanted the best for me. Okay? And he loved me for who I was and I am, whatever. He didn't try to change me into what he wanted. He allowed me to be me. And 21 years after, he still allows me to be me. Okay? It doesn't stress me. Don't marry someone who is going to change you. Both male and female. Somebody that says, oh, why are you talking like this? I don't like the way you talk. I don't like the way you do your hair. When we are going out, when we just go and meet our friends, please just don't say anything. Just don't say anything. You know? Secondly, my husband loves me, I know, because he places me above himself. He would rather not have things and give things to me. So who would not love that kind of man? He protects me, okay? Protects me, puts me on a high pedestal in front of his family, protects me, and my husband's family, they are amazing anyway. You know, a man that takes care of you, that does things for you, that hoovers the house, that makes amala, which is this delicacy we eat in Nigeria.
Please,
you know.
Listen.
Yes, so please. You asked me. Yeah. So please.
What I want to say here. Okay, yeah, I did ask.
You did.
Okay. What I want to say here is this. Please, and please, not every man is like that.
Yes. And somebody, it didn't become like that in one day.
Somebody once lived with us, a young lady.
Mm-hmm.
And she got into a relationship with a guy. And she kept telling the guy, using me as a standard.
Yeah.
Of course, they didn't go anywhere together. So what I'm just trying to say is that, back to what we said, you know what's unique about you and what's suitable. When you look at the word help meet, somebody that is suited to your own particular need. You know, and it's just a principle. But please, it just starts with knowing yourself. When I say know yourself, please, we're talking about character. It's a character you are marrying, not a bank manager, not a professor, not a PhD holder, not the director of some oil conglomerate of companies, not a medical doctor. You are marrying a character. Above every other thing, that's what you should look out for, because that's what you're going to live with. If it's a bank manager, it's not going to bring the money home. It's managing other people's money. Please take note of that. You might be paid a handsome salary, but what sort of an individual is he? Possessive, abusive, that's what you married. So character, the list, whatever list you make, physical attraction. You see, at times, I think the physical attraction, I don't know, could just be a bait. When I say bait, something to attract you to a person. But please, if it's their beauty that attracted you, please, beyond the beauty, start looking at the person, the personality.
Yeah.
If it's their job that attracted you, if it's the six-pack that attracted you, please, once you get close, look beyond the six-pack. Otherwise, it might pack you. I tell people that on a very serious note, you know, men are physically stronger. You may not understand the reason behind the six-pack and think you are the reason. No, these are, you know, sound comical, but these are issues. Please, have we tackled the two questions?
Yes, okay, just a final question, right, because of our time. Yeah, we only have like just a final question, just for like, because most people here are not married. Like, we're not married. So the final question is, after you've said I do, like after you've, you know, you married, have there been times in your marriage where you feel like, why did I get married to this person? And those times, how have you been able to overcome it? I would like Pastor Mumi to give, to talk about it, and also a couple as well in the audience as well, and we'll close.
Yeah, I think if we have to be very sincere and honest with ourselves, and I'm talking about those who are married now, I doubt it if there's any couple that marry and after they say I do, they don't have one or two challenges that may start making you wonder, am I in the right place? I like that came from the audience now. I can tell you that is not from a single person. Every marriage, and this is not a doctrine, goes through its trials. It could be anything. And I'm saying this is not a doctrine, but usually the first 2-3 years are usually challenging. You're still trying to get to know the person that you thought you knew. Before you married, this is what they promised. Post-marriage, they are telling you they were drunk the day they promised you. Every marriage, you know, goes through it. I think our own marriage lasted 1 week before we almost scattered it. My wife will remember. We were wearing the same clothes. So when you saw us, you say, well, that's a couple. And we had a very sharp disagreement, sharp contention that even before we married, we never had such. And I just walked away, walked on the other side, she walked on the other side of the road. And you know, but that's the first 1 week. We just came back from honeymoon. There's something about honeymoon. The moon is in the honey. The honey is in the moon. When you come down to earth, you will find out the honey has finished. And be real, sounds comical. Every marriage goes through its trial. That's where God comes in. Because in those trying moments, you will remember where you started from and what God said. I've shared this before, but I'm not going to go into details. I mean, I know there was a particular issue that for like the first 13 years of our marriage, anytime it came up, it was always real sharp contention between the two of us. 13 years. And I know the day, I mean, I've shared it funnily. Some of you might remember, but I know some people might be new or just visiting today. I'm talking of me now, and I like being real and practical and at times vulnerable. Use it against me. Go and post it on social media. I don't care. But I'm just telling the truth if it's going to help somebody. I was pastoring. I have a wife. We had a contention. 2 a.m., I drove out of the house. Walked out on my marriage. Why is everybody quiet now? Driving the streets of Liverpool. Very angry. I was kind of, that's it. I don't even care if this is the end of the marriage, blah, blah, blah. And men, listen now. Married men, at such times, your mind is usually filled with adulterous thoughts. I'll just go and meet one woman now and teach her a lesson. It's very dangerous. But what I'm saying, if we are real, we will always be human. And I'm just not just talking about marriage, because some people are here tonight wondering, what am I doing here? I'm not ready to marry. Look, it transcends every relationship. If you don't have character, you get a good job, good pay, they're going to fire you if you don't live up. Because it's not your certificate they employed, it's your character. So, what was the question again? The question is that, was there challenges?
Sometimes are you able to overcome?
It's God. Yeah. And then a bit of, you know, humility. You know, I still say, my wife has said some good things about me tonight. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Yeah. But you see, my wife is always, this is my wife, oh.
Mm-hmm.
Please, don't go home now. Go and start fighting your wife. When we quarrel, my wife is usually the first person to say sorry.
For, like forever, yeah.
No, don't we expose too much.
Why are you talking?
That's our trade. Don't expose our trade secrets. Are you getting me? It's usually the first person to say sorry, even if I am wrong. But I can tell you one thing. I have never wronged my wife and been at peace. I know I'm in trouble. I just know. Conflict, I lose it. I can't function. I forget it. Oh, you see us as pastors. There have been times, it's just that it's better now, isn't it? Where we will fight to church is when I want to preach, we go aside. Okay, sorry. No, come on. In Jesus' name. That's marriage. You are forever human, no matter how spiritual you are.
Yeah.
You've got to learn how to humble yourself and deal with it with the help of God.
Yeah, so how do you overcome the challenges? The God factor is very, very important. And that's, you know, one of the messages, was it a message or something that Pastor said about why? Remembering why. You know, when you go through challenges, it's in marriage, in every area of your life, it's always good to remember why you got married in the first place. If you go back to that place of why, it helps you to put things in perspective.
That is a very good why.
Yeah. If it's a very bad why, then God help you. God is a God of mercy, and is always merciful when we go to Him. So it's just that sometimes we have to suffer the consequences of our actions. So going back to that place of why and asking God for his mercy on the marriage and humbling yourself, both of you cannot be hot at the same time. Someone out of the two has to calm down, you know, because at the end of the day, peace has to reign in your home. Because if peace doesn't reign, you're not going to function, you're not going to be happy in your place of work, wherever you are. It's going to affect the children, it's going to affect everything around you. So it's always good to always find a meeting point of compromise. Marriage is complementing each other.
I wanted to say that. It's not competition.
It's not competition. Yeah.
It's not that somebody wins and the other loses.
Yeah.
You both win.
You know, because at the end of the day, what's the point of winning an argument and losing your wife or your husband? So when you go to bed at night, you'll be arguing the argument. You know, arguing the argument. You know, the argument, you know, because your spouse is in the other room, okay? You people are not talking to each other. So, okay, fine, you've won the argument. So, at the end of the day, what does that even mean? So, there's no point, is there? Okay, you get the trophy, you know, I spoke like, I, you
I
know,
gave
I put,
her a piece of my mind.
Yeah, I put my last word in. It's not going to do anybody any good. It's not going to do your marriage good. So it's easier. And, you know, things take time. And, you know, it takes time. You work at it. One of the first things that I learned when I got married was and I'm internally grateful to that woman of God for saying it, was Reverend Funke Adejumo. She said something. She said, marrying someone is knowing where they stink and you still love them. Because you yourself, you're not perfect. So, you know, you are in it now. Just ask for God's grace and help. And be careful with people, you know, third party. Friends. Because they are giving you advice, but you don't know they are envying you. They are just waiting for you to just move so that they can come in.
Third party.
All right, thank you. Does anyone, like the couple in the audience, just final contribution? Okay.
10 minutes overboard.
Praise God. Yeah. Just a quick one. In addition to what the pastors have said, I think also a practical way is identifying what the triggers are. Because at times, after a while, you start learning to know your spouse because you know them in a... It might be stress, it might be pressures, you know, just being understanding and trying to diffuse things, you know. When things are in the hot, it's not the time to try and win an argument. It might just be the time to just let go and just let God for that moment. I know one of the things I try to practice is I'm learning to keep quiet more and just pray and like, Holy Spirit, help me here. And you'd be amazed what 10 minutes later, your perspective is totally different from what it was. The devil tries to, I think one of the biggest things he attacks is marriages. So your spouse could be saying one thing and you will be hearing another. And if you don't take a step back to really hear properly, you'll end up just reacting hot, you know. And another thing is, learning to forgive before they even commit the offense. You know, like they've said, time and time again, you're going to be in situations where your spouse will irritate you or you would irritate them or you would argue over things that you will look back and think, that doesn't even make sense. Why did we even get into the argument in the first place? But if you have that attitude that no matter what, it's not a case, like we've said, of being in competition and having the very last word and just learning to forgive. It doesn't matter what. You would prevent things just building up and getting out of control. Thank you.
Communication. Don't let things linger for too long. You see, the bottom line of marriage, I'm talking of marriage now, is two. Becoming one. And the attack that comes on the marriage is to make two, to remain two. Where you and your spouse just remain separate. That's no longer a marriage. That's like housemates, roommates. You know, it's that thinking that we must operate as one. And that's the unity that the devil fights, pressures of life fights. Because when you look at God's principle, if two shall agree on earth as touching anything they shall ask, it shall be done. Now, let me chip this in. I tell people, how do you I really know who to marry? Believe me, it is not as complicated as we complicate it. Please take this and go and meditate on it. The person, this is how you know who you should marry. The person who agrees to marry you, and you two agree to marry. And when I say agree, it's not pressure that is making him agree. And it's not out of pressure that you two, you agree. Willingly, you both surrender your will to make this happen and make this work. You know, I've seen, we've seen a lot. Somebody has to work on chasing for 5 years. It was no. Person did not let you rest 5 years. Okay, one day you just caved in. And then you marry them. And then they start maltreating you. And then you are now thinking. So after all these 5 years, I was proven tough. Please, just look out for agreement. And with God at the center. It is that simple. But you've got to know yourself. You've got to know God. Relationship. You see, the summary of relationship is this. And it will guide us, because there's something about sexual purity. I'll just end with that. You see, the summary, what will help any relationship, and especially marriage. Marriage is the ultimate of relationships. And like my wife said earlier, if you don't get other relationships right, you think you now marry, and that's the one now you want to get right. No. Little things as knowing, should I go to Tesco, should I go to Asda? Or you just decide, I'm going to Tesco. Whatever I find in Tesco is what I'll buy. Decision. Intentional. You're ready to face the consequences of your action. Not that you blame anybody. If not for the weather, I wouldn't have gone to Tesco. Excuse me. You went to Tesco. Whatever you see in Tesco, please. You know, the Bible says the man and the woman, they were both naked. And they were not ashamed. Excuse me, marriage will expose your nakedness. Big time. Now, relationship. If you get it right vertically, Jesus said, somebody asked Jesus, what's the greatest commandment? He says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. That's a vertical relationship. And then the second is like unto this, and you shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's it, on the horizontal level. The Bible says that anybody who knows God and hates does not know God, because God is love. So get this love so that you can give this love. It comes down to sexual purity. And I will just share, you know, what I got to understand about sexual purity. You know, you see, the more you are dating somebody, okay, you've agreed to marry, you know. Look, the more you spend time together, the more you like each other, the more you attract each other. And please, unless you are a eunuch, you are going to get sexually attracted. That's the reality. I remember one sister who was telling me that if there's anything she feared most, that the person she will marry will not be able to, you know, to perform. Don't look at me now. That when they were cutting, she kept on asking, please tell me if you are impotent. You know, some people are crazy, you know. Please don't do that. I'm just saying, for this person. You know, so for me, of course, the closer we were getting, the more tempting it was. But I will never forget an analogy that I will say with the help of God, that if you truly love Wura, Wura is my wife, then you won't sleep with her before marriage. That is a demonstration that you actually, genuinely, truly, purely love her. You won't abuse her. Abnormal use. See, sex before marriage is abnormal use of sex. But it all comes down to knowing yourself. If you know you are very weak, you know this, then please avoid places where you are all by yourself. And when you're all by yourself, anything can happen. You know, just go more to fellowship together. Don't just be going to Odeon Cinema and they put off the light and you are saying you are watching a movie. It's dark, remember? And then after the movie, you have to walk each other through some dark alleyway. The name of what? Know yourself. You are weak. That's part of it. Be sincere with yourself. If I'm not careful here, I will sleep with her. I had to come to that reality. And I just believe that that also helped me. If you truly, genuinely love somebody, purely, you won't abuse them. You will protect, you will guide. Temptations will come, but please apply common sense. You can't be coming to fellowship with your spouse every day. You are found in godly gatherings. Please let anybody who is dating each other here, come out here and I'll fornicate. Let's see you. No. Come out and fornicate in front of everybody. You won't do it. So the power of just a little bit of common sense. Just always be where people are. Because after you marry, in fact, you won't want to see people at least for the first few months after your marriage. In fact, I didn't want to see anybody. I didn't know why people were visiting us. You know, I still remember the day one guy came, knocking our door. We didn't open the door. Thank God there were no mobile phones in those days. So there was no way. We were inside. We didn't open. We just got married. What do you want? Leave us alone. You know? So there's time for everything. Please, I will keep talking. Let's leave it there.
Okay, so thanks for that. We still have loads of questions, but because of our time, we'll probably have a part two, but we'll let us know. So thank you very much for coming. Can we just give Pastor Mommy a round of applause?